Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All of us, the U.S. Women's Soccer Show from Goal.
She's one of the best playmakers of her generation. She's accomplished so much on the field across several different continents. And recently, she started to make just as much of an impact off the field. On today's episode of All of Us, the U.S. Women's Soccer Show, we will speak with Vera Boquete about her career and everything that's happened regarding a scandal with the Spanish national team that exploded in 2015 and came back into public view late last year with a documentary that aired in Spain. My name is Seth Vertelny. Welcome into the show. And joining me, as always, is Goal's women's football correspondent, Amy Ruskaya. Amy, how's it going?
I am good. What about you?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to speaking to Vero about her career. You know, she's done so much on the field. She's played pretty much everywhere. So she has a really unique perspective about the game all over the world. And then, of course, I want to speak with her about some of the issues off the field as well, particularly regarding Spain. In the 2015 World Cup, Spain had a pretty poor performance on the field. And after that tournament, Vero, along with a number of other Spain players, essentially had a public mutiny against their coach, Ignacio Carreta. He had been in charge of the Spain women's team for 27 years, between 1988 and 2015. And Vero and some of her teammates alleged a really toxic culture that Carreta had created. They detailed a pattern of bullying and abusive language, including sexism, homophobia, bigotry towards Catalans, and controlling behavior. They said that they had gone to the Spanish FA, and the FA didn't do anything about it, and so they actually went public with it, and it led to Carreta eventually being forced out. And I know that anybody that's been following the women's game in the U.S. over the last year will say that story sounds pretty familiar. A lot of that, of course, has been going on in the NWSL. And Vero, in some ways, was one of the pioneers in terms of trying to get something done about an abusive coach that she played under. And so we will talk to her about her career, her different stops across the world, and some of the issues of abuse that she has dealt with and tried to fight back against during her career. And so let's bring in Vero now and chat with her about all those topics. Vero, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being on.
Hi, thank you. My pleasure to be with you guys. And let's start.
Let's start. You have very recently joined up with Fiorentina. What are your early impressions of the club, early impressions of the city of Florence? I have to say, I went to Florence a long time ago, and I would not completely hate living there.
Yeah, exactly. The same for me. It's just a couple of weeks that I'm here, but I'm starting to enjoy the city. It's smaller than Milan, smaller than other cities where I have been living, but I like smaller cities where everyone kind of know each other. And in the club, they have a big project also for the future. So it's a club that want to grow. And in the women's side, Fiorentina, it was in the past was always one of the clubs that supporting more the women's side. And now they just want to come back to the highest level and the top of the league. So I'm happy to be here and help them to do that.
Seth just reeled off all those countries that you've played in, this being your eighth professional country. What is it that's appealed to you over your career about going to these different countries and having these different experiences?
I mean, for me, it's exactly that. It's life experience. Obviously, I'm playing football, but it's all about knowing people, knowing different cultures, understand why people live or think in the way that they do. And yeah, also in the sports side, to see how they work, how they, which type of methodology they use, why it's successful in that country and maybe knowing in other, try to adapt to different styles, to different ways of playing. And all that made you grow as a player and made you grow as a person. And that's something that I love. I just want to be better in every part of me as a player and as a person. So I'm enjoying every country and every experience.
I'm sure you've taken something personally and professionally from everywhere that you've played. But I'm wondering if there's any particular place that sticks out to you, and whether it's on the field, off the field, like a place that you feel like has really benefited you a lot, either personally or professionally?
Yeah, it's hard to pick one, but obviously my highest peak of my career, it was in Sweden with my club there, Tyresö. I was lucky enough to play with some of the best players in the world, reach the Champions League final, have like a really nice life there, but also really competitive in trainings, in games. So for me, that time and that country, Sweden, had a big impact in my career. But I will say also US, because US gave me the chance to really be professional. The first time in my career that I became a professional football player, it was in US. And then to do it good there made me kind of get the respect in the rest of the world and try to get more opportunities in Europe. But US has a big impact also in my career.
Yeah, because you played for five different clubs in the US, so I guess you touched on it a little bit there, but what was it that made you want to keep going back there every time?
Well, I love the mentality. I always admire the American players and the feeling of the country that they show when they play with the national team, but especially that winning mentality. So that was something that always make me to come back to US, but also the professional league, to play in front of thousands of people, to really feel that you have like all the things that you need, like the training fields, the travel, all that, that before, years ago in Europe, it was really hard to get. You could have that in US, so you felt really, really professional. Now it's kind of a little different. If you want to go to US, it's another experience. It's also competitive, but it's not because you don't have it here in Europe. You have it here. Women's football grow a lot. But for me, US, it was and it will be always really special.
And you've been able to see professional women's soccer in the US at different stages. You know, you played in the WPS before that league folded. And then you were able to play in the NWSL in 2014, which was just the second season of the league. And then you came back to the NWSL more recently in 2019 and 2020 with Utah. How have you seen the growth of the women's game in the United States during your time playing there?
Yeah, I think that in every state, it was a competitive league. It was so many good players were playing there, international players. So it was always excited to go there and play. I will say that in the last last time in US, I could see that it was more consolidate. It was nowhere like a surprise to play in front of thousands of people. We saw almost every game with a lot of people, biggest stadiums open up, not just in Portland, in everywhere. So the first years was a little different, and it was not that common. So I think that like the fans now, they start to get that soccer culture that maybe they missed it before. Obviously, in the last years and almost the whole history of women's football, the national team was the biggest country. But it was just a short time, every four, every two, 3 years. So I think that now in US, they understand that they have a big national team, but also they understand that they have a national league that attract a lot of players. And the clubs start to grow that and start to give more stability to the players. And I think that that is going to mark the difference.
And you spent a couple of seasons with Utah last time you were in the US. Was it tough to see what happened with them? You talked about obviously feeling more consolidated, but you know, was it tough to see what happened to Utah Royals when you'd gone?
Yeah, totally. It was sad to see it, to feel it. Also surprised because the club was a strong club. All the community was really engaged with especially the women's team. So all the things that happened, it shouldn't happen. Utah should have still a women's team, and like that club deserved better. I just hope that that was kind of a step back to come back maybe in the future with another mentality, with another idea. And I hope that Utah gets a new team with other mentality behind.
Yeah, there's been some reports about what was going on kind of behind the scenes with the Royals. We've seen reports about a toxic culture. Some of the things that the owner said in public were pretty unsavory. Heard some reports about the coach. Some players have spoken out as well. We'll talk about your experience with Spain soon, but I'm wondering, you know, for you, was that what you experienced? And if so, you know, how do you kind of put that in context with experience something like that earlier in your career with the Spanish national team?
Yeah, I think that to have other experience gives you the whole picture. So you understand better what is going on. You accept the situation better. That means that not that you accepted that, it's okay. But you accept it inside because if not, you suffer even more. So it was a really hard situation for everyone. But at the same time, it was like, okay, this is not good enough. So it had been not good enough for a long time. Maybe the people that was here before, they couldn't handle it. So for us, in my case, to have the experience with Spain, to have the experience in other countries that you always have to deal with this kind of macho country culture and sexist comments. So I didn't have to suffer that directly in Utah. But I think that you just understand better the situation and you accept that this is not good enough and that you don't want to be part of that and something has to change.
Why did you decide to move back to Europe after that then? What was it that brought you back nearer home?
I was happy in Utah, but sometimes these things happen and your life changed again, and it was also the COVID time. So for several months we couldn't play. We didn't knew that if maybe another break could happen. So I wanted to play right away, and for that I have to come back to Europe. And also, know every league gives you the chance to play right away. Maybe you have to wait until the transfer window in January. That for me, it was late because I was kind of worried about the COVID and saying like, well, what happened if then maybe in December and January, everything stops again. So it's for that I came to Italy and I went to Milan. I just took the flew there. After 2 weeks, I was playing again. And to be back in one of the biggest clubs in Europe, it was also a good opportunity for me, another goals, and keep the same ambitions to keep growing and getting better.
All of us, the U.S. Women's Soccer Show from Goal. Get the latest news and views on the U.S. Women's National Team and the NWSL on Goal. All of us, the U.S. Women's Soccer Show from Goal. Find more U.S. Women's Soccer news and opinion on Goal.
After the 2015 World Cup, you played a big role in what eventually led to the sacking of Ignacio Carreta, the head coach of the national team, who had been there for 27, 28 years. There was a documentary that came out late last year, which you were a part of, called Breaking the Silence. I would imagine that there were a number of people in Spain that either weren't completely familiar with what happened or didn't know the story at all. So I'm wondering when that documentary came out, what kind of response it got in Spain or maybe even globally, and what did you notice about the reaction?
Well, the reaction was like a surprise. So many people didn't knew about the story, or they knew just like 5% of what happened, or they knew about the final days when we everything blows up, but they didn't knew what we were suffering or the situation that we have for so many years. I will say all my years in the national team. I played with the national team for 14 years since I was 16, and that was the type of that was the situation that we had. We have directors or people in charge that they didn't care and that they didn't want women's football grow. We have to suffer so many comments that were like just unreal. So many players really suffered. Like in my case, maybe it was not that hard because at some point I was one of the stars, so it's kind of easier just to have a better relation, or that they don't tell you that many stuff. But in the first years for me was like, I'm the younger one. I have to accept that because the others also accept that. You don't know exactly what is okay and what is not okay. Then when you get more experience, when you have the chance to travel, to see and to know how is a normal situation in other place, then you can compare. And when you compare, you just realize that that's not good enough. And for us in Canada, it was like the two things together. It's not good enough in the personal side, but it's also not good enough in the sports side. And we didn't get through the group phase just because we were not well prepared. It was no a thing about talent or players that are good enough or are not good enough. It's just that the people that was in charge of the women's national team, they didn't have the capacity to do that job, and that was the moment that we say, okay, this is the end, or we change this, or we cannot keep going in that direction.
And you look at the incredible place that women's football in Spain is in now. Do you think that we get to this point of, Alexia Putellas winning the Ballon d'Or, Barcelona winning the Champions League, without what you and your teammates did in 2015?
Probably not. It's hard to imagine the sweet moment that the Spanish women's football is living now. if we were still with Nacho Quereda and the same mentality and everyone behind that. So I think that was for sure a moment that changed the our story, and now we can talk about it, and we can see, well, maybe we were right. If after 5-6 years, Spain national team is already one of the best, and the players are one of the best in the world, so that means that we already have the talent before. The saddest thing is that how many great players, they couldn't reach the highest level, they couldn't play a World Cup or a Euro Cup, or they couldn't win a Ballon d'Or because people in charge, coaches, directors, they were just not good enough. So we don't want that in the future. And I think that what we did in Canada, it was brave, but especially was necessary.
I'm wondering how you kind of look at your national team career as a whole. You know, you were part of the team for over a decade. You accomplished a lot on the field, but, you know, the way it ended, I'm sure, left a bitter taste in your mouth. You know, being left off the team in 2017 to go to the Euros. When you kind of look back on a whole, like, how do you view it? I mean, do you try to focus on, you know, some of the good memories, some of the accomplishments you had, or do you inevitably kind of think about the last couple of years and how it ended?
I try to think about the positive. I have a great experience with the national team. I reached some of my life goals, to playing a World Cup, to playing a Euro Cup. And at the same time, I accept that it was another time. I knew that, and even now, I knew that in the years that I was with the national team, I could not fight or play to win a title. So I'm not missing anything in that side. But obviously, the end, it was not the one that I wanted. I think that it could be better, that's for sure. I don't think that I deserve to get out in that way, but at the same time, it's a price that I have to pay, and if that is the consequence of changing the history of my sport in my country, I think that is not that bad.
Yeah. Is that the thing that you have to be proud of, the legacy that you kind of leave?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the legacy is more important than people think. So many of the good things that we have now is because, or is thanks to so many women and so many players that fight to got it before than us. And sometimes we don't recognize them enough. So I recognize them enough. And thanks to them, I was able to fight for my sport in some situations, and I hope that I transmit that to the younger generation, and that they can keep doing that in the situations that they have in the future.
I'm sure that you have been following what's been going on in the NWSL over the last several months, with players finally starting to speak out about some of the abuses that they've suffered under coaches, that sound, you know, very similar to some of the things that you and your teammates had alleged about your national team coach. And I'm wondering just how you view this moment in the NWSL, particularly as somebody who did something very similar several years ago, where you tried to speak to your FA about it. Eventually you went to the press to try to get some kind of reaction, some kind of action to happen. And I'm wondering just your view of everything that's been going on in the NWSL recently.
Well, in the moment that all the things start to come out, and especially about Paul Riley, Philadelphia, Portland, I was a little in shock for a few days because I was there. I was in Philadelphia Independence. I was in the Portland Thorns when all these things happened. And like I was telling me all the time, like how it was possible that I didn't see that, like how was that happening in front of me, and how I have already that experience with the national team and in other places that I have been, and then in Utah, and it's like at the end you just think like, well, this is more normal than it shouldn't be a surprise, because this is happening every day in every workplace, in every family, in every neighborhood. And it's enough is enough. Like, I think that in the last months, the players in NWSL just showed that, okay, this is not gonna happen again. Like, enough is enough. Now everyone gonna speak and we want solutions. It's not like, oh yeah, it's okay, we're gonna see it, we're gonna open an investigation, then no one knows about the investigation, this coach gets another job in another place, and these things keep happening. And at some point, we have to be stronger than that, and especially, like I said before about the legacy, like, younger players don't have to accept that, because this is not okay. So, yeah, like, I was in shock for a few days. I kind of get angry with myself, but then was like, well, it's time to actually change things and support everyone here. And this is no something that we're gonna permit in the future.
What do you think that says about you know, these kinds of coaches or these kinds of cultures? You know, that somebody like you who is very well aware that these situations happen. I mean, you had been kind of experiencing it yourself with the Spanish national team. You know, what do you think it says that you didn't see it happen even when it was happening, both in Philadelphia and in Portland?
Yeah, like I think that so many of these things, when it's someone else, when people get ashamed, when they don't talk about it, when they don't make it a little clear for everyone, then we just see it like a normal, oh yeah, they are friends, or oh yeah, they are kind of they have a better relation. Like, you just don't give importance to that, so you just think that, yeah, everything goes well, no one is suffering here, no one is afraid of the consequence here, because everyone is free. But it's not the case. And I think that, like, so many people that is in a position of power, they just have so much power. No one is actually digging in and checking if they are good coaches or not, because no one come to the field and analyze the training or analyze the game approach. Like, no, it's like, oh yeah, that's fine, that's good enough. Maybe it's not good enough. And the same happened in the personal side. Like, no one is making sure, talking with players, watching all the workplace to make everyone safe there. So when the ones over you don't think about it, also makes yourself don't worry too much, because, well, if my boss is not worried about that, I guess if it's not something that really affect me directly. And that's the problem, that when affects you directly, you don't know with who to talk. You don't know what people is going to think about you. And yeah, so I think that right now everyone is more sensibilized about all this, and people is not afraid to speak. And it's more clear what is okay, what is not okay, and where are the limits.
Vera Boquete, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for speaking out and for drawing attention to some of these issues. And hopefully we'll see some real changes being made moving forward. And best of luck in Italy with Fiorentina.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
All right. That was Vera Boquete. Lots of interesting things that she got into, of course. Amy, anything immediately that stands out to you?
I mean, it's pretty insane that, you know, you think about that she knew about this abusive behaviour that, you know, they allege happened with the Spain national team coach, and then, you know, she can be at a club in the NWSL where there's, you know, abuse allegedly going on, and not know and not recognise the same patterns and things like that is pretty kind of, I guess, kind of scary in a way, like that you think you might know and might recognise when something's not right, but, you know, you might not always recognise that. But no, she's, I mean, great player, and also like to leave a legacy off the pitch like she's going to leave as well as on it is, you know, doesn't happen with most players to have that much of an impact both on and off the pitch.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy when you look back at some of her stops in the U.S. You know, she accomplished a lot on the field, but, you know, Philadelphia and Portland, she played under Paul Riley, and we know all about the things that he is alleged to have done. And then going to Utah, where it was another toxic environment that led to players speaking out, that led to coaches being fired, and eventually led to the club being sold and moving back to Kansas City. It just goes to show you how widespread this issue is in the women's game, and hopefully, you know, some of the players speaking out, including Vero and some of her former teammates in the NWSL, can start to really fight back against that kind of culture.
Yeah, I think the kind of things that the Players Association have been doing in the NWSL, we see that now. And, you know, it's crazy to think when I said about the, you know, do you think that you have a Spanish Ballon d'Or winner without, you know, what Vera and her teammates did? Like, you know, it's only been what, 7 years now, and you look at where Spain are now, it's insane at how limiting that kind of environment can be, no matter how talented players are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just like a little bit of attention, a little bit of focus, and all of a sudden, the Spain women's team is now like kind of on the same level as the Spain men's team in terms of how they play, in terms of the success that they're having, and it just goes to show you, you know, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes some attention and some care, and all of a sudden, a country that is so obsessed with soccer like Spain can produce on the women's side just like they have been on the men's side.
Yeah, and it's great that, you know, there'll be so many players in the Spain team now that suffered along with Vera and her teammates that now get that kind of day in the sun, you know, which is nice for them. And it's a shame the way Vera's career ended, but she'll still go down as one of the best players of her generation, no doubt.
Absolutely. We will leave it there. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Just a reminder to subscribe, leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. And we will be back chatting to you next week.
All of Us, the U.S. Women's Soccer Show from Goal. Get the latest news and views on the U.S. Women's National Team and the NWSL on Goal.